Blog Talk Radio.
We're being entertained, Mr. Cloud, diving to his music, getting in the mood. So you got it. Also in fabric. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are in the mood for the Labrish. This is Margaret Marshall, and I'd like to welcome you to Backyard Labrish. And I see that my co-host is on, so I'd like to welcome our co-host, Donna Robinson. Donna?
Yes, hi, how are you doing?
Just great, just getting ready for the Labrish.
Yeah.
We got a lot to lavish about, and I see I have my loyal listener from New York. I'd like to welcome him. Good evening.
Hi there in Atlanta.
Oh, we're chilling down here. It's really cold.
It's really cold here, too.
Yes, I know. So I hope the music just put you in a tropical mood. And you were jiving and thinking of the cool, not cold, but cool breeze that blows over the island of Jamaica in the evening time, you know, the trade winds?
Yeah, certainly was.
Right, so I want to welcome all our listeners online to the Backyard. This is Backyard Labrish, and you're talking to your host, Margaret Marshall, or I'm speaking with you, and we have Donna Robinson on the line. She's our co-host, and we have our very loyal listener from New York.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Lay. How you doing?
Good.
Well, you know, our theme this evening is celebrating the change and voicing our emotions. So this evening is dedicated to I know that everyone was in celebration yesterday. Is anyone still celebrating?
Well, just kind of looking at some of the programs. There was so much that was going on. It was kind of hard watching all the different balls. I think they had like 8 or 9 different balls that were going on. And interviews that you just couldn't catch everything, so you had to catch, you know, some yesterday, some today, and just kind of, I think it'll be going on probably all year. You know,
that's right. So, you know, I was listening to TV today and noticed that they were calling some of the parties viewing parties, and they were being held all over the world. Different parts of the world.
Well, what struck me was the headlines, the front pages of a lot of these news media all over the world, and right in the middle of them was one from Kingston, the Inquirer.
And what,
yeah.
Do you remember what it said?
Well, it had a big picture of Obama. You know, they all featured a picture of the new president, and maybe some had his wife, and I forgot what, this was just in a scanning flashlight that I saw, but almost every country in the world was represented. I was struck that Kingston had their, Jamaica had their front page on this montage or whatever you want to call it.
Right. But I am sure I was thinking the same thing, because when I put the promo together for the show, Donna even commented on it, because I said it's a new time and a new world. Remember that, Donna?
Yeah.
Because I know, being a foreigner, I mean, I'm not a foreigner anymore. I'm an American citizen. However, coming from a foreign country, I can relate to how this makes people all over the world feel. Because things are so different now than when we grew up in Jamaica, when we did not have television and we didn't have the medium of communication like you do now. People all over the world had the ability, some people and a lot of people, to watch it live. That is one of the great parts of just being alive now, to see this happening. You know, it's one thing to read about something, it's one thing to hear something, and it's another thing to see something live. Can you relate to that, Lane?
Well, what is so impressive is this whole army that Obama had all over the world on computers.
Mm-hmm.
During the campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This army is still wired to the White House.
Right.
And
right.
We will find out in time that this is the biggest communication medium of Obama.
Right.
If you don't already know it.
Right.
And
it brings me to the point that of just, you know, the age we're living in. And how cool and awesome it is. And
well,
urge people who are not embracing it to really get with it.
Mm-hmm. The transparency that he is saying that he's going to give will be actually easy because of the way he presents it in the media and on the computer.
Right. So in other words, not only are we celebrating here, and when I say we, I mean people of all colors and races and economic status, everybody. Well, I'm sure there are those who are not, but there are more people celebrating all over the world.
Well, my Republican friends called me up today and said, am I watching Fox? The music on Fox was good, so they were referring to the church service.
Right,
and
I watched.
Yeah, I turned it on and it really was good. But even the other side is watching, and I'm including my friends up in Boston who are on the other side of the aisle.
Are they listening in with us? Are they backyard laughing?
No. They listen to Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, well, you'll have to send them a backyard lavish link so they can listen to us sometimes and chill. Okay. Well, this evening I wanted to dedicate the first part of our show to my emotions as far, you know, this is a platform. I hope we'll have callers calling in to just tell us how yesterday or what yesterday meant to them in terms of how they felt. How did it make them feel? And being from, you know, a small country, and when I grew up and went to school in Jamaica, you know, we were not independent. We were under British rule. And when I share with my American friends that I had no knowledge of what, or very, very little knowledge of what was happening here in the United States, because we didn't learn American history. We had British history, and we knew, you know, perhaps more about Britain than we knew about our own island. It could be that I was very interested in that history, but I don't remember. I've learned more about my island in particular because of research since I'm here than I did when I was in school in Jamaica. How about you, Leigh?
Well, unfortunately, I was taught by the Jesuits, and they were from the New England province. So naturally, I got a good background in American history as well as British history.
Well, lucky you.
But you
were all aware of the Jim Crow and all that.
Oh, yes. Well,
here.
You see, that was... in a sense, unusual, because not everybody was exposed to this kind of, you know, background or schooling.
Right.
I think that you have to also look at that. One of the things that you talked about at the beginning is the technology. Also, when you're limited in terms of the technology that you have, you can't control that technology, what's going to be received by certain people. And so, you know, if you only have, you know, the real movie that you're going to see as opposed to how things are now, or even as things were then, one of the biggest things that Dr. King brought to the civil rights movement was the media, because things were going on, but the media wasn't covering them because they could be selective about covering them. But once he showed up, then they knew that, okay, we're going to bring the media in because Dr. King is going to be there. And so then it would get certain coverage, but then they would limit where they would show it at. So, you know, that's one of the things that was really neat about the election that I wanted to share really quick was what I liked was that you could text Obama and you put in the number, you text Obama to it, and you could then send your own stills of you sitting down watching it, watching what was going on, and they would put them up on BET. BET had a ball, and they had what was called the neighborhood screen, and they had like nine screens interlocked together. And it would show various pictures of people across the country taking pictures of themselves and their family watching the balls and watching the inauguration. And that was so neat, because then it would switch and you would have a whole different group, some people in Asia somewhere, or some people in, you know, just different parts of the world. And it was just really, it was just something to see just how, just like we were saying, how technology is now and how you have a young person, a young president who's youthful enough to not be afraid by the technology and embraces it so much that he's hating having to give up his BlackBerry.
Right.
CNN was inviting people, just what you were saying, Donna.
And they did have it, yeah.
Yeah, from all over the world to send in
some
of this stuff that they did on their own.
Right.
Yeah, they were using the satellites. They were, you know, that was really, really weird how they connected the images via satellite, or even they would take some people's pictures and how they could arrange them and then bring you right up to even seeing him with his hand right, you know, on the Lincoln's Bible. I was like, that is like so wild. And so that was exciting within itself, because you were almost there. I mean, I know a lot lot of people say, you know, they wouldn't have missed being there for the world. But personally, I enjoy being and here and seeing how technology plays such a huge role in bringing us all together.
That's right.
Well, you know, a lot of the youngsters from different parts of the world that were here working for Obama, they have taken back to their country. I was listening to a program on radio last week. This guy from the Netherlands said that he hopes that he will go into politics and he will probably encourage his people over there to use the same model that Obama used. And some other place, people from other countries said the same thing.
Right. So actually, one of the things I want to point out to our listeners, both calling in and online, is that embracing technology is a wonderful thing.
Oh,
and
listening
online, I want to congratulate them for doing so. But I wanted to share something that came up through technology to me. And you know how you get emails circulated to you? I'm sure that all our listeners do. You know, people are always forwarding stuff. And a lot of times it's very interesting, and a lot of times it becomes overbearing because you get so many. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I got this one email shortly before the inauguration that really spurred some interest in me because, as I said before, you know, we had limited knowledge of circumstances here when we were growing up in Jamaica. But it's funny because I was actually here when this incident happened, but it wasn't etched into my memory. And it was an email with just a very short title, which was, "What a Difference 48 Years Made or Makes." And the first image that you got as you scroll down was a Norman Rockwell painting of a little black girl and four or I don't remember how many images of white men with the armbands around them. And I'm a Norman Rockwell fan and didn't remember seeing that painting. I don't remember ever seeing it. And as you scroll down further, it had a picture of the president's two little daughters and a, you know, Secret Service men, white men around. I don't remember if they were all white. But the email was pointing out the difference of what happened in 48 years or 46 years or whatever amount of time it is. And it really spurred my interest. So I really read it, you know, I was keener in reading it. And what it was saying is that it was a story about Ruby Bridges, that she was the first African-American child to attend an all-white school in the South. And then the impression on the last one was she was being escorted to school under horrific circumstances and protests and jeering and all that went on then in 1960. And here we are in 2009. And these two little girls are being escorted with a whole different energy around them. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is. You know, one of the things that's pretty interesting about that, if someone doesn't quite know, there was a test that had to be taken for
children. Yes, I read about that in this thing. I just wanted to read a little bit about I Googled Ruby Bridges' name. And, it, you know, as I said before, as mentioned before, that we hear a lot of the names of the people who fought in the civil rights movement, the adults, you know, who did things to help to bring about what happened yesterday. But you have to hear about the children that were involved, except for the ones who were unfortunately killed. But you don't hear a lot about the ones who actually were involved in what they're doing today. So I decided to read up on Ruby Bridges and read that you had to take a test in those days to find out if you were qualified enough to enter one of these schools. And in New Orleans, where she lived and still lives, there were six children that qualified, but only one was going to the school that she particularly went to. So the story was about her. And so she was the only black child going to that school, and she was escorted by the whoever they were at the time, I suppose.
At Marshall's.
Right. But to me, what was emotional to me about the story was how she describes it now in her adult life, because she started an organization that is called, she started a foundation in 1999, and the tagline for her foundation is the value of tolerance, because as a six-year-old child growing up in New Orleans, she wasn't quite sure what was going on when all of this was going on. Because like children all over the world in those days, they were not as advanced as the children now. You know, the six-year-olds now are like what children were when they were 10. You know, don't you find that, Donna? That the younger children now seem to know more, partly because of all the exposure and the technology.
Right, right. Yeah, but, you know, children today, even my children, don't really have a clue as to I just found it really interesting that she was a kindergartner and that, you know, what she was subjected to. I remember seeing the movie when I was younger and seeing this movie that they put out with her, and she was in kindergarten. She was a little bitty little baby. And the people would threaten to poison her. She could only eat her food that she brought from home, and they would just, it was something. It was really, I mean, even for me as an adult, I'm saying to myself, wow, what a decision they made. I couldn't imagine having to make that decision. Me and my husband sit down and having to make this huge decision to send my baby into this pit, you know, seems like.
But, you know, there's another article about what if Ruby Bridges just stayed home?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my point is that she contributed in her own way. Her parents contributed in their own way. They all contributed to this. But you know what? When she gives her talk, you know how she describes it?
Mm.
She said, I remember that morning I saw lots of people standing in the streets. They were shouting and throwing things. And she recalled thinking, today's Mardi Gras, and I am in a parade. I mean, when she was giving the talk, everybody in the audience just smiled. The innocence of a child.
Yeah.
You know, that's not. People are throwing things at her. She said, it's Mardi Gras, because that's what they did in New Orleans. They still do it now, but what I mean, that's how she was thinking. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and it led me to think that, first of all, her father didn't want her to go.
Right.
But her mother thought she was doing it not only for her,
yeah,
but all the other black children in America, or now, I suppose, in the world, really, now. Because everything that one country does affect everybody else. As in the speech that was given last night, I mean yesterday, and in a lot of the songs and everything, you know, we are the world, not just as Americans, but just as individuals. So nobody can be really free until everybody's free. So
right.
My point is, her mother knew that when she made that decision to send her in that pit, as you say. So I just thought that, for me, the emotion, you know, of the change and the new world and the shift, it has to start with us. And it has to be deep within our consciousness that we make that decision. Because as I thought, as you said, of a parent, a mother especially, making that decision, that is heavy and deep.
Yeah, well, it also was very deep on their relationship, because they didn't stay together. They ended up, you know, divorcing.
Right. Well, a lot of times, you know, decisions that mothers make, or people in general, but in a lot of times mothers can affect, you know, relationships and things like that. However, I wanted to go on to say she now has, but how she thinks about it and how she thinks about it now, because she's not angry. She is not militant. She is teaching tolerance. Isn't that beautiful? And speaking tolerance. Yeah. And actually, she, her story is what, of course, inspired Norman Rockwell's painting. And as you said, there was a movie and just different things about her. But I thought it was very interesting. And it's also interesting to know that she still lives there. But, you know, she quoted something that her mother said. And she urged people to really get that. And she said that her mother always told her that racism is taught. Each and every one of us is born with a clean heart.
Yeah.
Our babies know nothing about hate or racism. But soon they begin to learn only from us, from the people around them. You know, we keep racism alive. We pass it on to our children. I think that is very sad. That was her words.
Yeah.
She gave this talk to a group of people.
Yeah.
So it's very, very passionate, I think, and very emotional.
Yeah, they had one. I remember they had one of the marshals on a program, I guess he's retired or whatever, but he was saying that one of the things that he was he thought it was going to really be a bad situation, and he said he had this little girl and going to a strange school, got these big old marshals around her. He said, but what was really impressive was that she showed such courage. At 6 years old, she never cried. She didn't, you know, making, you know, whimpering or, you know, moaning about anything. He said, She marched like a little soldier, and we were all very proud of her every
day. And also, the teacher, the only teacher who stayed to support her, you know, there's always compassion all around us, you know, it's there. So with all of this change and this shift, I think that individually, I would encourage my listeners to individually go deep into themselves and say, you know, what am I going to contribute to this change, this shift in this new world? Because people all over the world are touched by what happened yesterday. And there's a definite shift in the energy and in the consciousness. And we can expand it by making a personal commitment, as far as I'm concerned, to change something within us individually.
Yeah.
You know, are we? It could be making a commitment to be more involved with, as the president say, what can I personally do to help the economy? Can I find something that I can be less wasteful, helpful, whatever. You know, different people can do different things, but it's going to take the whole nation, not only the nation, I think the rest of the world is being affected too. People in every corner of the world. It's not, you know, there was a saying, or there is a saying, you know, that America sneezes and the whole world catch a cold. You know what I mean? So we have to take responsibility, as the president said so graciously yesterday. We have to take responsibility for expanding this change and moving forward so the whole world can be better off. But I just wanted to mention again, you know, that if these people in 1960 did not make a decision to move forward with something they believed would help a lot of people, not only their child.
Yeah.
You see, that's the whole thing. you have to go beyond yourself. You have to go beyond yourself in terms of making a difference. And I just encourage all our listeners, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, to just go within themselves and be part of the change. You know, what can I individually do? What commitment can I make to make a difference in this change, the shift? Because there's definitely a shift for the better, a better world. And I think it starts with us individually. I want to welcome caller from 561-615. Welcome to the show. And if you'd like to participate, just hit 1 on your telephone, and we'll know that you want to interact with us. So
I want to just say to everyone that to go to backyardlabbridge.com and register, put your profile on there, and share a little information about yourself with us, and backyardlabbridge.com, but also come here every Wednesday. We're labbridging in the backyard. If you were on earlier, you got a chance to sway with the breeze and with the wonderful music, and maybe got your little aerobics in for that moment, but it's an opportunity just to kind of labrish and leave some footprints, you know, in history, because I know that this will be here long after we're gone. Just our children or children's children have an opportunity to hear some of our views on this particular issue of change. And, you know, the one thing that I think is so uncomfortable for a lot of people is change. You know, people really don't like to change. And just saying those words, it seems like some people just kind of, you know, they almost like put their hands up in defense, because they're like, I don't want to change. I just want to stay the way I am, because change means moving into maybe an uncomfortable zone for some people. But I think that, you know, the best thing about being human beings is that we can change. We can move forward. And we have to look at one of the things that I thought was really neat that she was talking about was that she said that she wished there were enough marshals to walk with every child as they faced whatever, you know, endangers or whatever things in life that they faced. But she knew that there wouldn't be enough for that. But she hoped that just by her coming out and maybe speaking and talking about, you know, this, the things that she encountered and everything, that it would encourage people to, you know, to not just, you know, to not just dedicate themselves to themselves, you know, join her by dedicating themselves, not just protecting, but uplifting those that you touch. And kind of like what you're saying, I was listening to Obama talk about one of the balls. He was talking about how people could go to Teach America, you know, where you can become a teacher, and they're looking for people from various backgrounds. They said they don't want people from just one background. They want people from various backgrounds to do what's called Teach for America, and they're looking for them all over the United States to go in and help to make a difference in the various communities across the United States. And, you know, people say, well, I need a job. Well, here's an opportunity for some people to have a job and to make a difference at the same time that can, you know, that can launch them and make a difference in one child's life at a time. I think that is just so neat, to plant little seeds in children, because that's really what they are. They're just little sprouts that are going to grow up and will have had an opportunity to make a difference in their lives.
Oh, well, thank you, Donna. And I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish. And as Donna mentioned, we're here every Wednesday in the backyard. And for our foreign friends that might not know what a labrish is, but a labrish is most Jamaicans will know what a labrish is. It's the conversation between people of like minds or friends or family. It's a casual conversation, and today our conversation is about celebrating the change and vocalizing our emotions. How did it make you feel? So if any of our listeners would like to tell us what yesterday meant to them and how it made them feel, just let us know by pressing 1 on your telephone. And I am sorry I'm not techie enough yet to chat with my friends online that might be listening online in the chat room, but I want to welcome you, the listeners online, and to remind you to come back every week. But now I want to talk about some of the other changes. First of all, I wanted to make a comment on something that might not have been as publicized. But I also got another email about sisters in the house. And when we talk about sisters, you know, most people of color are just thinking about black sisters or women of color. But now I'm talking about it broad because everybody's our sister, right? But I was very impressed. I don't know if you listened to the service this morning, but it's the first time that a woman gave the message. And her message was about, you know, getting centered in the fact that we are our brother's keepers. It was a very, did you listen to the message, Donna?
No, I didn't.
Oh, she was very good. She had a very interesting message. And as a matter of fact, she sounded a lot more, I don't know what her spiritual background or religious background was. I didn't tune in at the beginning. But she sounded a lot like what we call a metaphysician, you know, the metaphysical concept of spirituality or religion, which this is not a show about that. But, you know, that is what I adhere to. And I was very impressed with her speech. But also, I'm also very impressed and very thrilled to see that in the Obama's nominations or selections for certain positions, a lot of very smart, young, professional sisters. And I would like to invite our listeners to go to Backyard Labrish's website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com, and click on the blog talk icon, and they will see seven beautiful sisters and their backgrounds, and they can actually read more about them by clicking directly to where this came from, I think. Or no, I'm not sure. Someone sent this to me in an email, and I verified it, but they're all come with a lot of accolades. And they're appointed to different positions that don't get as much publicity as, you know, the Secretary of State. But they're all wonderful women, young college graduates appointed to different positions. And the caption on the email was, "Sisters in the House." And I thought that was so cute. And I was so excited and enthused about it, I decided to put it on the website. So if any of our listeners have not seen who they are and seen their beautiful faces and their, you know, their what college they graduated from and what they were selected to do, please go on this website and check it out. And while you're there, you could become a member of the Backyard. We want to have some more people not only listening to us on the radio, but interacting with each other on the Backyard. Backyard Labrish has the same features that you would find in Facebook or MySpace. However, it is, you know, with an additional purpose of giving information about a lot about the Jamaican culture. And we're asking for stories from the people who perhaps grew up in Jamaica before they became independent, because our stories are sort of a little different from the stories now, because I, for one, was not there when the island became independent. So I have not experienced the island except for a very short period when I went back home to Jamaica. I have not experienced it as for any long period as an independent country. And now that I'm retired and doing this, I am a lot more interested in what's going on there. And I've had several organizations on the show that are doing some work to help, to give back or to reach out to the underprivileged there in Jamaica. And on the website, there are lots of interesting articles and resources that you'll find. So do join us in the backyard, literally, beside listening to us. And again, I'd like to ask our listeners that are listening online, if you'd like to make a comment, please hit 1 on your keypad. So now, I want to congratulate our President Obama for his selection of these sisters that he has put into position. And I like the fact that they're young. You know, this is a senior that's talking. So I know we as seniors have to pass the torch on to the younger generation. And this is just wonderful. I'm just having thrills all over. And I see caller from 561-615 would like to interact with us. So you're on. Good evening. This is Margaret, and welcome to Backyard Lavish. Who do we have?
Good evening, Margaret. This is Pansy from West Palm Beach.
Hey, Pansy from West
Palm
Beach.
Hello to you and Donna.
Oh, hello.
I try to come on every Wednesday just for a short while.
Well, thank you for being here. What's the weather like in West Palm Beach?
Oh, it's so cold. We have 2 blankets on, and we have set the thermostat at 70.
Wow.
Today was the coldest day in West Palm Beach for 17 years.
Wow.
The weatherman said that. We were in the 30s.
Whoa, wow. That's
cold. Will be in the 40s, and then it will pass.
Right. Well, tell us about your feeling about yesterday and how it...
Margaret, it was a soul-inspiring day.
Wonderful.
We gathered together, about 30 of us, for the whole day. And for a change, there was no chattering.
You were mesmerized.
Yes. We could see the tension in the room. Everybody was just glued to this widescreen set that my friend had. She invited about 30 people, and it was a mixed group. There were people who had worked on the campaign, white Americans, there were Jamaicans, there were Trinidadians, and it was a mixed group. And some were in tears at a certain time.
Oh, of course, yes. And Pansy, I was just sharing with the audience and with Donna in particular that we did not, in our school days, we did not have a lot of information about what was happening here in the 30s and 40s and early 50s.
You mean in the States, the United States?
Yes, in the United
States.
Because
we studied British history.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, people didn't really tune into American history until you grew up and went to maybe college or university. And then we realized what was happening. All we knew about was the Boston Tea Party.
I will joke with some of my American friends and told them that I didn't even know I was black until I got here.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can feel the same way, Pansy, because I never had to define my race.
No.
Because we didn't have any forms in Jamaica that asked for that.
That's
so
right.
The first time I was presented with that question is when I came here in 1959.
Exactly.
So it's quite interesting.
One Jamaican lady came and they asked her what her race was, and she didn't know what to say. And they said, are you black? Are you colored? Are you what? In those days, it was colored.
Uh-huh.
They say, have you any? She was quite annoyed that they should ask her these questions. And she said, well, I have a wee drop of colored blood.
Yes, so we call her a wee. you were telling me.
Wee droppers.
Yeah, wee dropper.
That was the first time I realized that, you know, there was this difference of color.
Right.
But we grew up all together. For instance, there was a couple there yesterday, a Jamaican couple married to a Chinese fellow. Chinese Jamaican.
Right.
She spent a very little time in Jamaica, she said. She went to kindergarten and elementary, and she came over here. So she really doesn't know much about Jamaica. I was telling them about your website because they were recalling all these things that, you know, they did when they were young. So I told them about Backyard Labrish and told them that they should come on. So.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
You will hear some new people soon.
Yes, very good. Well, and it's sometimes hard for people here that don't really know a lot about Jamaica in terms of 40, 50 years ago, in the 40s and 50s when we grew up, because the communication on both sides was not what it is today.
Yeah.
Well, everything that happens in Jamaica today is instantly available right here, and vice versa. You know, everything that happens here or any part of the world is available to people in Jamaica, but that was not the way it was when we grew up.
Yeah, but so, you can't America to go to college or to buy pretty clothes.
Right.
Here in some form or the other to take back dollars.
Yes. That was the purpose, but we did not. And even in those days, we were not that involved in what was going on around us.
No.
As, you know,
because we
really
didn't have television.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard, I think, for especially some black Americans to relate to that because they have been exposed to it all their lives.
Exactly.
When it's sort of something we had to get informed about and get accustomed to and get to realize and feel.
Yes.
But having three grandsons that were born in this country who are Americans, yesterday was very meaningful for me. Because whereas in my country, when I grew up, I mean, there were black people in big positions. So it never really fazed me, but knowing that now any of my grandsons that would want to aspire to become the president of the United States would have that opportunity is very, very meaningful to me.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I just want them to be happy, whatever position they choose or, you know, whatever career they choose. But if it is the highest office, it is good to know that America is at the stage where the color, whatever color I have them that, you know, can pass, but whatever color they are, the opportunity is open to them.
Yeah,
so that
to know that you don't have to pass as anything. I mean,
right, this is what I'm saying. You know?
You had to identify yourself with a certain color when you came from another country. It's sort of difficult for us to assimilate.
Right.
Spent on before our time and to know how the group that we had to assimilate with feel about things.
Right.
Because we did not have the same background and we did not have the same feeling towards things that are going on.
Exactly.
So now we know that we are all one and we have to work together and you have to try to be kind to your neighbor and not to be, you know, sort of stand aside and say, well, I'm this and I'm from the Caribbean.
You
have to
assimilate.
Yourself.
And as I said, the minister in the speech yesterday, you know, just pointed out that we are our brother's keepers.
Exactly.
And as Martin Luther King said, you know, we cannot be free unless everybody is free.
So
you
what
know,
does
you
Donna
cannot...
think? Did she have that same reaction about foreign people assimilating to another group here?
Oh, yes. Her sermon was very, very...
No, Donna.
Oh, Donna. No. Oh, okay. Donna, I'm sorry. The question is related to you, Donna.
What is your question?
Well, I'm wondering how do you feel about just what I said about another group coming in and assimilating with blacks here?
Well, you know, I'm of the mind that said that, first of all, I'm kind of like what, you know, what Obama says. I feel like we're all mutts anyway. We have so much mixed in us that, you know, one of the things that I find to be interesting, particularly for Jamaicans, is that they just say that they're Jamaicans. And I wish that would be how we would relate to ourselves. Either we're Americans, or you come here, you're from Africa, you're an African, or you come here and you're from Europe, you're European, and you're from the country that you're from, but not based upon the color of your skin. I don't think that a person who comes from another country because they're brown should have to be classified as a black person or a brown person. If they come from another country, that's where they should say that they're from. And the color portion of that to me is just irrelevant. What is the purpose behind it, really? Either if I'm applying for something or going to a college or whatever I'm doing, let me just go based upon my qualifications as opposed to determining whether or not, you know, I'm black or white or yellow or whatever color. To me, you know, that's kind of, I think, how most what you will find, though, is misery loves company. And depending on, I would assume, the economic level of the individual, a person who is feeling really miserable or has never really, you know, had a lot of privileges, or maybe they've always felt like they've been singled out. If they're in a situation where there's another person who may be, you know, a brown skin that comes in and they're given a privilege above and beyond them, they will have a tendency to say, wait a minute, you're like me, you should be with me, you know, as opposed to saying, it doesn't really matter. My goodness, I'm proud that you are in that position. You've qualified for it. And so, unfortunately, it doesn't matter whether or not you're from, you know, Jamaica or London or any place. If you're black and you're in with a crowd of other black people, you can find discrimination within your own race. So for me, I just look at the fact that yesterday said that we were all Americans, and that even the people in the international community wanted what was best for their country and for America, because they feel tied and plugged in almost like a socket to America, that if we move forward and we advance our technology and we do the things in terms of making this a green earth, or, you know, moving towards alternative modes of energy and things like that, that it's only going to help the world. And so, you know, to me it was like, it's wonderful to see that sea of all types of individuals supporting that day and commemorating, yes, that day and that moment.
As I said, it was soul inspiring.
Yeah,
I don't think you should forget your country, but I think when you leave it to get something from a country like this, that you should, you know, be a part of it.
Right.
Well, you
not
know,
to forget your own background, but
no, if you can, of course, that wasn't something that was allowed for. Of course, the slaves were brought to America. Of course, they were stripped of all of that, which, you know. But if a person, give you an idea, I have some friends that are my best girlfriends from Mexico, and one of the things that I've always enjoyed was being around her family and seeing just how, even though some of them can't speak hardly any English, they try really hard, but some of them can't speak any, you know, really good English or whatever, it doesn't bother me that they haven't learned English. It doesn't really bother me. But some people get so upset.
Yes.
You're in America. You should learn English. This is our country. And da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, what is it really? Is that hurting me? It doesn't hurt me that they don't speak. Maybe, you know, that should just say to me that I can learn some Spanish, I can learn French, I can learn whatever other language I want to learn. It doesn't mean that just because we're in America that everybody has to assimilate to American things, you know. I think that, like what you're saying, is that you can still, I think that you still, a person should still hold true to their culture, to pass on those things that were good from their culture. I mean, because I mean, they have some great things in their culture. Just the family and the way that their guys are brought up in terms of just getting up and going to work and don't find no excuse, you know, things that they have that I think are great ethics. And I don't think that they should let that go and say, just skip all of that and get on welfare or something. You know, just simulate as be an American and just take over, you know, the system.
Well, anyway, I just want to say that I want to make a confession, because I remember when I went to Europe for the first time, I went to Madrid, and I was at first just appalled that nobody understood me. You know, I'm getting on the bus. I sat in a bed and breakfast, and nobody spoke English, and I kept saying to my girlfriend, I can't understand these people. You know, and she said to me, Margaret, you're in their country.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yes, you're right. Because we didn't stay in a tourist area. I'm sure in a hotel and in the tourist section, a lot of people, the Spanish people there spoke English. But I stayed in a neighborhood because I wanted to experience the culture. So you are right in terms, Donna, where, you know, sometimes we do not realize that we become intolerant. We're not in the moment of what we're doing. And that is what I say. Part of the commitment for this change that we are proclaiming and celebrating has to be individual change within each of us. That is going to help to support this president and to help to make the real change in our country.
Yeah.
It's going to have to start with us in some small way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is what I mean. Because I was guilty of that in that moment until I was really, I mean, I was saying, what is wrong? Nobody understands me. You know, I'm trying to get from one place to the next. And instead of understanding that, hey, yeah, they don't speak English. They were not rude or anything, but I figured, well, you know, I'm there. I'm spending my money. I'm from America. I speak English. I mean, why can't anybody communicate with me in that quick moment?
When the dollar was, the almighty dollar.
No, as a matter of fact, I happened to go when the dollar was very bad. But, still, you know, I'm sure it's a lot worse now. But my point is, a lot of times we automatically get to a place where we're guilty of not really doing. We're not conscious of what we're doing. And I think that part of what I am making a commitment to do is to figure out what can I personally do to help in this change, this new world I'm proclaiming, this shift that we are really celebrating. You know, it can expand if we expand.
Well, I'd say you should do Teach America, because you have so much to bring to the children of the world. But also, I just want to say that is the reason why when one of my girlfriends, she was going to I can't remember Central America to learn how to speak Spanish, and the program, the way it was set up, was that your whole family went. And when your family went, you all were separated. You could not stay together. You were each put in different homes related to various relatives of this other family. But you all had to be separated. You could not stay together, because they said what would happen is that you will find yourself merging back into the kitchen.
Exactly, yes.
You know, you all be gathered into the kitchen talking back in English again,
yes.
And you will never learn the language.
That's right.
And so that's what happens, you know, and you can understand that, and that's one of the things that I understand about people when they come here. They're like, you know, you're looking for yourself. You're looking for that other person, that other Spanish person, or you're looking for the other Jamaican, the Jamaican places where you can buy your food, or you're looking for yourself one way or another, and it happens. It's going to happen. That's just a natural process, and unless you are taken out of that element and made to feel a bit uncomfortable to move you to the next level.
Well, I understand what you're saying because in Switzerland, where the Jamaican offices is represented at the UN, and the UN has several hundred nations all there working. And we used to go, each country had their independence, and so we would go to one of these independence get-together parties every month. There was a different country, and you had to go. And you would find yourself gravitating to the British or the people who spoke English. And they said, you'd never learn French like that. We used to have to hide from people who spoke English just to be able to practice our French. Because we went to the UN every day to learn it. And when we came back, we gathered together either in the office or in the evening and spoke English. So we would have to hide. Even when I went to Besançon in France to learn for a month, we hid from the British because they would catch you. Oh, somebody speaks English, so I'm so glad. And, you know, because your whole thoughts would have to be merged in learning the language.
Yeah,
and that's the only way you're going to learn, to go into one of these homes.
Right,
And be separated from all the English-speaking people and speak English, because they don't mind. They don't mind if you make a mistake or speak a broken French or whatever. You're learning French, and they will help you.
Right.
And
we can expand that thought on everything else. You know, we're always, it's always easier to stay in your comfort zone.
Exactly.
Yeah. And do things that are familiar.
Too hard to to do
and
something.
For my senior citizens that are afraid of the technology of the computer, if they're listening online, or if, for those on the computer, I congratulate them and welcome them. And I just wanted to let everybody know that Pansy and myself are sort of in the same age group. We're seniors. And, you know, Pansy, we are in the minority in terms of the seniors that are really embracing. More of them are doing it now. But a lot of our Jamaican counterparts, some of who I know that I'm trying to encourage to participate with me in leaving a footprint of stories about when they were growing up, so their grandchildren or just other people's grandchildren from all over the world can have some verbal and stories about, you know, what happened and what we enjoyed, how we lived. You know, it's different about historians documenting historical facts is one thing, but the stories from the people who lived during that period is always more meaningful, as is the story of Ruby Bridges that I mentioned today. Because if I even read about, you know, her in a historic fashion, I don't think it would be as meaningful to me as reading her what she talks about when she talked to young people. I mean, reading about, you know, things that happened, little details. And as we know, you know, 10 people can read one article, and each individual person gets something different, gets a different message from that same article. So I'm encouraging my senior friends and people all over the world, wherever they are, to become a part of the Backyard Labrish and share a story with us, so that we can have footprints of how it used to be when we lived in Jamaica or where we lived, wherever we lived, because the whole world is changing. So, you know, when we read even books now about the stories of the lives of the people, what they said, how it happened, it's different from reading historical facts. Don't you agree, Pansy?
I do agree. You've said it very well.
So I really thank you for being part of the Labrish.
Thank
you for inviting your friends to check us out. And I see we have a caller from 646-479. If you'd like to join the Labrish, just hit 1 on your telephone. If not, just enjoy the Labrish as you're doing now. And we thank you for being here, and our listeners online, we thank you. And we're here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock on the same number you're calling in on, or the same website you've clicked on. And we ask you to visit our website to check out the Sisters in the House at www.backyardlabridge.com. And that is mentioned on the blog talk link that you'll find at the top of the page. And we have a lot of interesting stories. We have stories from George Graham, who's a Jamaican writer who wrote several poems and stories about growing up in Jamaica. We have Miss Louise Bennett saying we want you to help us with that. And we also have ask the senior panel, where if you have a question you'd like to ask some Jamaican seniors about, it could be something with a relationship with a foreigner, whether it's American or an English person, a behavior or a style or a comment that a Jamaican has made or done that you'd like clarified that you might not want to ask them. Because I know, Panzi, I don't know if you can relate to this, but when I came here first, and I was more Jamaican than American then, I've lived in the United States much longer than I ever lived in Jamaica, but I found that I misunderstood certain things about the American culture, and they misunderstood some things about me. So just having some place you can go to and check out, you know, what did that mean? What were they talking about? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Can be a good thing. So that is one of the things we offer on the website, beside you being able to interact with other people if you want to set up a forum or build a profile or so. We just welcome everybody and hope that you'll help us grow. So, Panzi, you're helping us grow by telling your friends about us, and we appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. I just hope that I have to follow them up and get them calling in.
Yes, and if you would you can forward our email we send you about the shows to them. That's one way that they can just get it very easily.
Yeah.
Just forward it to them, and also invite them to check out the website.
I will. My computer is down at the moment, but I hope to get it going there tomorrow.
All right, and
okay,
we thank you for your comments,
Panzi.
And is there something, do you want to leave a message here for your grandson? I know you have a grandson, an American, a Jamaican grandson.
No, I would just like him to visit Jamaica and also know his roots as well as his life here.
Ah.
He must not be, as I said, so close.
Yes.
All the different cultures. I'd like him to travel because that's a great education in itself and, you know, have values which are lasting.
Right. And I know that you are well-traveled and you're going to be a guest on our show to talk about your life and your travels very soon. We're looking forward to having you as a guest. And we invite any of our callers who would like to be a guest on our show to tell us about something about their culture. That just register on our website and send us a note, or you know you can register on the Blog Talk site. I think Donna, you are more technical about that. You want to fill our listeners in on that?
Yes, you can go to the Blog Talk and you can say you want to chat, and what you need to do is just register as you come up as a guest. You just need to register sign yourself a name and register, and then you refresh and you're registered. You just log back on. You can listen while you're registering, which is a great thing, and then go ahead and register, and then you can comment and you can chat in the chat room and ask questions. If you're, you know, because some people are kind of shy about actually, you know, speaking out.
Is that free? Is that free?
I wanted to also add something really quick. One of the things that Pansy said that is so important that I just want to just raise my hand and do a testimonial for is the traveling. One of the things I, being from a military family, realized a long time ago, particularly when I started having my children, was that sometimes the traveling itself was so much more educational for them than any of those books and history lessons that they could read, because then they could see for themselves the Grand Canyon, and they could, you know, somebody wouldn't have to tell them about Vegas. They could see Vegas for themselves, or see California, or see, you know, Washington, D.C., or Maryland, or wherever we were traveling. We would take our kids, and they would get a chance to see all these places for themselves. And, you know, until you go and you see for yourself, it's just not the same, you know? I mean, even the breeze in the background as we're starting up the music isn't going to quite give us the same feel as going to Jamaica itself, I'm sure.
Right, and we hope one day in the near future we'll have a backyard lavish trip to Jamaica with some of our fans and listeners. So you can truly experience the Jamaican climate if you've never been there, and the atmosphere. Because, you know, we were voted among the 10 best places to vacation.
Did you say a trip?
A lot of times now you're only hearing about the bad things that's happening to Jamaica, in Jamaica, but it's still a great place to have a vacation.
Excuse me, are you planning a trip?
As soon as we have enough people participating in the backyard, we're going to have a backyard trip.
Oh, a trip.
Yes.
Wonderful idea.
Yes.
My travel agent here is planning one too.
Really? Yes.
Been away for a long time and have no idea about, you know, the places now. They're just here.
There are lots of Jamaicans scattered all over the world that have not been to Jamaica in a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of that being because of the bad publicity, or the publicity about the bad things that's happening there, because they are facts. There are lots of things that are not positive that's happening, but there's also lots of things that are very positive that is happening, and also lots of groups here in the United States, and I'm sure all of the world, that are doing things to help. Well, in some way, they're giving back or extending a hand to help some of what is going on there. And we have special people on our show from time to time that are involved with, you know, nonprofit organizations that are helping and giving back to Jamaica. And we want to also encourage any group that would like to use this as a platform to let us know what they're doing to help Jamaica or their culture in another part of the world, to just let us know. Because Blog Talk Radio is visited by people from all over the world, and this is a great platform to be on. So, again, we want to thank our listeners tonight. We only have a couple of minutes. And if you do want to weigh in and let us know and vocalize your emotions about our celebration of the change that we have entered and the new world and the new time that we are going to be participating in. I know for me as a senior, I am just so grateful to the Almighty to be alive at this time, to see what is taking place around me, and to be able to participate in it. That it's just so fabulous that I am just energized. And as we say in Jamaica, Pansy, I feel like a gal of 16. You remember?
Yes, I remember that saying.
Yeah, you feel like a gal of 16 because Donna, that would mean a 16-year-old girl. You know, in the old days in Jamaica, we never came of age until we were 21, right, Pansy?
Oh yes, and you had a big party.
Coming of age party was 21, not 16 or 18.
Yes.
Uh-oh. You know, it was 21 before you came of age. I remember having my 21 coming of age party. But anyway,
I just like to say that I had the sentiments of President Obama long before he suggested that we all give back something. I registered as a volunteer with the Red Cross to go into shelters when and if there's a hurricane. I have done the literacy, adult literacy, for 3 years with one man, and now he can read.
Oh, congratulations, Sandy. I'm very proud of you.
I've always felt
that
I should do something besides, you know, working, or now that I'm retired, it's even more so.
Very good. And I encourage all our listeners to find something they can do to be part of the change, because that's how we're going to make everything better, not only for ourselves here in the United States, but for the whole world. You know, when we do better individually in our homes as individuals, then, you know, we feel better, we can smile better, we feel better about ourselves when we're doing something positive. So although we're in a...
Not only for our country, but for this country.
Right, right.
As a positive for our country.
Right, right. So, you know, when we are more positive in just being ourselves in some way and doing something, we can do something. We can step, as the president said, we can't always have our hands clenched, you know, as individuals, just thinking about ourselves. We have to open our hands and extend them, you know, to our neighbors, to other people, to people outside of our culture, to people who are not our color, are not our religious beliefs, or whatever. You know, he talked about everybody coming together, whether you're black, white, straight, gay, you know, Muslim, Christian, whatever. You know, that's what we all have to concentrate on. What can we do to change something in us that will be for the broader picture?
Good.
And with that, I'm giving another chance to anyone who would like to weigh in and leave a verbal footprint with us here tonight as we are almost ready to close our showdown. This is Backyard Labrish, and you're listening to Margaret Marshall, host of the show, and Donna Robinson, co-host. And we are chatting right now. The mic is opened up with one of our guests, Pansy from West Palm Beach. So if any of our other callers, I see we have other callers, would like to tell us where they're calling from, just hit one on your keypad and let us know. In the meantime, I want to thank everybody for listening and ask you to tune in again next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about labrishing about another interesting subject. And we have a lot of great, some guests that are coming on. February being Black History Month is going to be a very busy month for a lot of people who are doing community projects and projects involved with Black history. So we expect to have some of our guests on next month, but March will be a big month for us in terms of special guests. So, Pansy, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All our listeners for calling in.
Thank you, and have a good evening, both to you and to Donna. It was very interesting.
Thank you, Pansy, and stay warm.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm shivering right now. I'm going to turn off the thermostat.
Well, I can tell you perhaps need a hot toddy.
You
Is
know,
that
I was
what
thinking
they call
the same thing.
Yeah, you have a little white rum. You can make a cup of tea and put a tablespoon of white rum in it. That will warm you up.
I think Konya could be better for me than white rum.
Hey, you got a Jamaican then.
Not white rum, no. In a rum punch, yes. When you put it in a rum punch, then.
In medicinal form, you only need a teaspoon. Perhaps you a half a teaspoon in your cup of tea would really warm you up tonight.
I'm going to do that. Okay.
All righty.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, Pansy.
Good evening to you.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. Well, we want to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Backyard Labrish. And do visit us again next week and check our website at www.backyardlabrish.com and join the Labrish. We're going to be signing off in a minute. And thanks again, and good night, Donna.
All right. Well, good night. I've really enjoyed labrishing with everyone, and I'm looking forward to our sitting in the backyard labrishing next week.
All right. In the meantime, have fun on the website. Check out the Sisters in the House. Good night.
Good night.